Well, I know it's National Signing Day, and the focus is certainly on football. But how about this story? From CBS Sports, the latest bend to conference realignment has popped in the Pacific Northwest. Oregon State and Washington State are in line to join the West Coast Conference as affiliate members and play league games, with the exception of football and baseball, against WCC schools for the 24-25 and 25-26 seasons, sources told CBS Sports. That's not the end of the world for the Mountain West, because basketball is much different. You're still going to, it sounds like Oregon State and Washington State are still going to be involved. But Angel, does that mean they're going to stay independent on football and they're not going to ultimately join the Mountain West Conference? It's got to mean what that is. Otherwise, eventually they'll join the West Coast Conference. So, yeah, I guess it is bad news but if they're going to keep the schedule thing with the Mountain West, that's good.
Yeah,
that's for
I
the
think
next 2 years.
Football is set
for the next year,
primarily
or two.
In stone for the next few years. The West Coast Conference, the WCC, is a mid-major conference affiliated with the NCAA Division I, consisting of 9 member schools across the states of California, Oregon, and Washington. So it's kind of like those three West Coast states there.
Yeah, so that makes sense, right, for them?
Oh, yeah. So that includes Gonzaga, Loyola Marymount, Pepperdine, St. Mary's, San Diego, San Francisco, Santa Clara. So those types of schools.
I just wonder what it means, though, going forward for football. Because they have this separate agreement in place for 2024 with the Mountain West. But the WCC does not sponsor football. So there's no football on that side of it, right?
No, so they sponsor baseball, basketball, cross country, golf, soccer, tennis, and water polo on the men's side. They do not have football, rowing, swimming and diving, indoor or outdoor track and field, or volleyball.
Mm.
So a conference for every other sport except football.
Chip Kelly with UCLA, we played that audio on Monday. It was basically, hey, I think football teams should all be independent. But I don't know how that works either. But
I mean, it would be a part of your school's athletic department and program, but it wouldn't be tied into with your major conference affiliations. Like UNC football, major sports are in the Big Sky, but baseball, I believe, is in the Summit or the WAC. One of those.
And isn't UNC wrestling in the Big 12?
Yes.
And to reiterate, or to kind of just confirm what Chip Kelly meant, he meant like football should just be independent from every sport. Not that they're all independents, but their conference realignment has nothing to do with everybody else's conference realignment. And I do think he's right there. If it's easy enough to do it, because these teams that are now traveling across the country to go play sports, well, that impacts your basketball team and your volleyball team unlike anything else.
Right, and I would say Pac-12 basketball and the rivalries and the matchups you have there, just for an example, those are ones you want to keep.
Mm-hmm.
You want UCLA and USC and Arizona State. You want CU in there as well. I think that would be an easier solution to keep not football independent in the sense that they're not in a conference, but independent from the rest of their sports department.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see kind of how this all plays out. Ultimately, it's going to be, it's just more stuff to add to it. And I think that, I don't think that this is going to hurt football. I'm curious to see if Oregon State and Washington State will stay independent. That's not going to help their case, Angel, to get into the playoffs eventually, right? Because they're not a conference
right.
on football. They're going to play primarily Mountain West teams and themselves, each other, and then 3 or 4 non-conference games.
Which would probably be Power 4 teams.
Yeah, they're going to have to pack that, because that's the only way they would make the playoffs, is they got to win. They would have to, just like most teams, except for Florida State, you have to go undefeated to get into the playoffs now.
I mean, it's like Notre Dame scheduling USC and Stanford every year.
Yeah,
those are rivalries, but also they can help boost your
resume building and all that stuff. Yeah, because now it's going to be, Angel, you might have two, three lost teams in the playoffs.
Sure. The margin of error grows.
What was Boise State's record this year? They lost four, didn't they? They lost three or four, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
And they would have been a playoff team this year. So that's going to change everything. But Oregon State and Washington State do not have the luxury of winning their conference. That's not a selling point for them. Their selling point, like they have to be an at-large. And Angel, don't you think there's going to be a few at-large bids that have better records than the conference champs that get it? Not the big ones.
Sure.
But that fifth one we're talking about, don't you think that more often than not, four or five of these at-large bids are going to have better records than the Mountain West conference champ?
Yeah, so basically that fifth automatic bid for a conference champ is set aside for the group of five. One, the conference championship, you have to be a champion of your conference, but also then you are being ranked against the other group of five.
Yeah.
So the American Athletic Conference, Conference USA, Mid-American, Mountain West, and Sun Belt, the highest conference champion out of those five gets that automatic bid.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say American Athletic Conference champ, they go 11-1, CSU wins the Mountain West at 10-2. They're a Mountain West champ, but they could still be left out of that automatic bid and a at-large.
Do you think they're going to pit it up just champion to champion, who had the better record? Do you think that that's what they'll do? Or will they look at the strength of the schedule throughout and, hey, you were 10-2, Tulane was 11-1, but your Mountain West team, your second, third, fourth best Mountain West teams beat Michigan, or they were all good. The second, third, fourth best team in your conference wasn't as good. So are they going to look at the conference as a whole, or are they just going to look at the champ?
I think they'll look at factors of your strength of schedule. I think in terms of voting, you may see more votes going towards group of five schools just to kind of give them an idea of where they would be placed throughout the year. And, you know, you may see five group of five schools ranked in the top 35 spots.
Mm.
And that's just so we have a gauge of where they're at to start the year and where they move throughout.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the right way to do it. You know, that's the best way to do it. But don't you think, like, Oregon State and Washington State, their road, I know it was already difficult anyway because they got left to this dying Pac-12, but staying independent is going to be very difficult for them because they're not good enough right now. I mean, Oregon State looked pretty good, and Washington State obviously stormed out of the gates, and then they slowed down. But are they in the Notre Dame world yet? Are they in the...
In terms of prestige and reputation,
no. And so how are you going to get the recruits to help you keep up with that world? Your best bet was to do what they did yet this year, was to almost, you know, to almost win.
Well, then what happens when we eventually move to all conference schedules?
Yep.
You know, Big Ten does 9 conference games now. The SEC does 8. When does that number move to 10, 11 in terms of you're only playing your conference opponents?
Correct. Yeah, no, that's... There's going to be a lot of things to unpack with this as we go. 14 minutes after the hour, Angel, we're going to catch up with St. Thomas coming up next. You've talked to him a little bit. He had a beautiful game against the Buffs. And again, that was a rough game for UNC as a whole. But St. Thomas, man, I mean, he showed something out there. He was unstoppable. It was him. He was the guy of that night.
Yeah, a talented kid out of Nebraska, a couple state championships there, spent a few years at Loyola Chicago, another highly reputable basketball program there, but then transferring to UNC this past offseason and has, I'd say, probably their best player this year.
I feel like he's getting better, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he could get to the point, by the time we're in conference play, he could be the best player in the Big Sky.
Certainly.
I mean, this
Big
game...
Sky is very... There's one good team, and then it's very clumped
Portland,
in the middle parts.
How about Portland State, though?
They're very good.
That is a really good basketball team. They beat Fresno State last night 75-72. And they, you know, they've had battles. They lost a 10-point game to Washington State. They've had an interesting schedule. They beat Air Force 62-55. And Air Force is kind of getting... Air Force is... Listen, Air Force isn't bad. It's not a bad team right now. They're 7-4.
They're dropping games they probably shouldn't.
Yeah, that's the thing. Dropping games probably shouldn't. I mean, you find out about these teams kind of the further we go. 16 minutes after the hour. St. Thomas for the UNC Bears coming up next.
You like podcasts? We podcast every show immediately after it airs at 1310kfka.com or wherever you download your favorite stuff. Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Welcome back into the whole show powered by Chevron here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Joining me now, as Angel said during the break, Mr. Double Double, St. Thomas of the UNC Bears, averaging 18 points per game, a little over 10 boards per game, 3.5 assists per game. And he had a monster night against the, pretty darn good Colorado Buffaloes. 27 points and 9 boards against the Buffs last week. St. Thomas, thank you so much, my friend, for joining us.
Thanks for having me, man.
Hey, we're looking forward to tomorrow's game, tomorrow afternoon game. I love afternoon or early basketball. You guys are going up against Air Force. But that game against the Buffs, obviously not the way you want that thing to go down, but you were in some kind of a zone, man. You were fantastic.
Yes.
What were you seeing out there in this Buffs game, man? Because, again, you're averaging 18 points a game. Like, you're lighting it up every night. But nearly 30 against the Buffs. What are you seeing out there?
I was just seeing a bunch of my teammates and coaching staff that just believing in me to go out there every night and perform and trust me to perform the way I do. So, I mean, I just trust in my work ethic, man, and whoever's in front of me, doesn't matter who it is, the Buffs, or is it a Division II, it doesn't matter, man. I just got to have the same approach and same mentality to every game.
Yeah, and you seem to have that, man. No question about it. I was at that game in Boulder Friday night, and just watching you even during timeouts and everything, I really admire the way you're quick to jump over, give a high five, be there for your teammates. I mean, you're the guy, you're the man, you're lighting it up.
Yeah.
But you're walking around there being that leader, being that teammate, and I think guys really respond to that, and I think that's stuff we're going to see throughout the course of the season from you.
Yes, of course. I mean, I know. I get this from all the coaches that I've played for, is that I can either sink a gym or I can lift a gym, man. Like, I wear every emotion on my face, and I feel like my team feeds off of that. So I'm kind of like the glue guy to the whole program, and got to keep feeding into them and having them see, like, man, even though we're going to go through adversity, we have 7 to 8 new guys, so we just got to keep getting better each game.
Well, yeah, and isn't that kind of what this part of the season is for, too? There's practice, but nothing replaces what you're actually doing out on the floor when you're going up against an opponent. It's still learning about each other, right? Learning, a lot of you new faces, learning about what your coaches want when you're out there, and then dealing with that adversity, and that's the beauty of the non-conference schedule.
Yes, of course. I mean, non-conference kind of just get your feet wet just to see what your team is like. I mean, the newer days, I mean, everybody has a new team. And, I mean, when conference comes around after this Christmas break is really when it's time to my bad and kind of just got to figure it out, man.
Yeah, you got a few more non-conference games left. You're at Air Force you're heading down there now. You're on the bus,
yes.
Dude. You're ready to go.
Exactly.
This is one of my first ones too, and this is what I love about you guys, making it easy for us to reach out to you. I love the fact that we're able to catch you on the bus heading to Colorado Springs.
Oh yeah, it's about an hour away, man.
what are you doing on the bus normally when you take these types of trips? I mean, I know. We're getting to talk to you for a little bit here, but what's normally going on in the bus and the journeys to where and from you're going?
I think for the guys, it was very quiet. Everybody has headphones on. And But I guess, like, for me, just kind of to take a break from basketball and kind of just, like, sit back, watch a movie, sit back, listen to music or something. So until we have to, when we get there, we actually practice, then it's right back to work.
So you're watching a movie, maybe listening to music. What's a go-to movie for you right now?
Go-to movie? If we have a long trip, bro, you can never go wrong with Interstellar.
I keep seeing the advertisements for that on social media, and I was telling my producer Angel this the other day. I was like, dude, I got to see that movie because Facebook wants me to see it, so I got to go see it.
And you have to watch it multiple times. Every time you watch it, you get a different perspective.
Yeah, no, I've definitely got that one on the list. St. Thomas joining us, averaging 18 points, 10-plus rebounds per game with the UNC Bears. Got a fun one coming up against Air Force tomorrow afternoon. Cannot wait. We'll have that coverage here with Mike Rice on the call. Coverage begins at 1:30. But it is kind of an interesting schedule for you, St. Thomas, looking at the rest of this thing, you know, at Air Force. Then you do have a conference game against Northern Arizona. Then you're at North Dakota and then home against Denver. And then you jump full on into the conference play. So kind of a unique setup.
Yeah, I mean, it's always cool to have, like, to play teams, like, at all. I think we play everybody in Colorado this year. And that's big for me because at my last school at Loyola, we played everybody in Chicago. And it was kind of like we had this thing, like, everybody has to pay the toll. And so, I mean, getting the chance to play everybody in Colorado is pretty dope. And we have this one at Air Force, and then we have to finish out with the Big Sky Summit League Challenge. That's going to be really good for us in the challenges.
I heard you say that, too. Everybody's got to pay the toll. I love that. You know, with the UNC Bears, I want you guys to own that. Like, hey, we want to start being that team in the state that these teams really look at like, oh, man, we got to go play those guys. We got to get through those guys before we can really press on for the rest of our schedule.
Oh, yeah. I feel like out of Colorado State in Colorado, everybody kind of looks at us like the little bros, but you got to get past the little bros to beat us, man.
I love that mentality, too. And you didn't look like a little brother to anybody on Friday night, man. You were lighting it up, and it was a lot of fun to see. That was one of those games, too, and I know the Buffs are a really good team. They're going to go on, and they're going to do some great things this year. But it was also one of those nights where even you guys were creating a lot of great shot opportunities. Some of those, not for you, but some of those just weren't falling for a lot of guys.
Yes, I mean, playing a lot of people on our team haven't played in kind of like in that environment yet, and that's kind of one of the biggest environments I think we're probably playing all season. So, I mean, we actually did, offensive-wise, I felt like we did fine without even hitting shots, but just, like I've always said all season, we've got to take more pride on the defensive side, and I know that team's probably going to make a run in the tournament this year, so... But like I said, for every game, we just kind of keep grinding it out and take more pride on the defensive side, man.
Yeah, and Saint, after that game, when like I said, you 27 points, 9 boards for you. Were some of those Buffs players and maybe even some of the coaches like, dude, awesome job, man? I mean, how does that go at the end of a game like that when you guys are shaking hands and wrapping up? Because I'm always looking at it like, man, if they didn't know Saint Thomas before this game, they know him now.
Yeah, crazy thing is, the guy on that team is actually from Lincoln, Nebraska, freshman named Ben Goddack. And so I kind of knew him going into the game, and like he told me, like, man, I kind of expected that watching you grow playing basketball in high school and stuff. But I mean, like after the game, the point guard came up to me and gave me kind of my props for the game. But other than that, like, I mean, it's all respect for those guys, too. I mean, they put on the show in front of their crowd and kind of gave us another perspective and, like, what we're working for now. So, I mean, even though we lost, we still got some positive out of it.
Yeah, what I was going to ask you next, Saint, looking at that game, is that something where you think, hey, I know we lost the game, but we can take that going forward, utilize that for the rest of the non-conference games, and then really use that as a jumping-off point when we get into the Big Sky season?
Oh, yes. I think... me individually, I think it's like it helps a lot because at first, like, I could tell at the beginning of the game I was kind of like rattled and sped up, and then kind of like going into the game kind of caught my flow. And I mean, that's kind of my first big time game too, kind of playing then. So just kind of finding my flow is like throughout the whole game was kind of big for me, realizing that and just being poised and just keep being me through adversity and just keep fighting through it. And it's just like as our team goals to just keep staying together, keep the hurdles tight, and you got to keep grinding it out.
Well, you certainly hit your flow in that game Friday. We'll be looking forward to tomorrow. Big test for you guys. Air Force is a good Mountain West Conference team. So a fun test coming up for you guys. Saint, I had so much fun. I've watched you several times this year, but a couple of times this year getting to see you in person. And I was up close on Friday. And you're the real deal, man. And I'm excited to see what you can do when you get into conference play. I think it's going to be a really special season for you. And let's see if the rest of this team can go right along with you guys and maybe put yourself in the thick of it in these Big Sky standings.
Appreciate you, man.
All right, man. Good luck.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, good luck tomorrow. Let's catch up soon, okay?
Thank you.
All right, that's St. Thomas for the UNC Bears on the bus ride. So not the best audio quality, Angel, but we get through it. We want to hear from Saint. He had a monster game, and he's probably going to have a monster game tomorrow.
Yeah, kid's got a lot of talent, obviously, but he's very humble, I would say, in the way he goes about it.
And I think he is, yeah.
Having that perspective about, you know, finding the positives in a game where you probably weren't going to have a good shot at winning, but for him to have a game like that, kind of his highest scoring game this season, can really just boost up your confidence in yourself, but also the team. And as he said, he wears his emotions on his face, and everyone kind of picks up on that, so... Mm-hmm. He's very much the key and the glue guy for this Bears squad.
Yeah, keeping his, keeping himself in that right mindset is going to be key. I noticed that a few times, though. I really liked seeing it. He was going up to teammates during timeouts, you know, slapping them on the back, giving them five. Hey, it's all right, man. It's all right. Like, I like to see that because a lot of times star players, and especially when they're in takeover mode and nobody else is going with them at that moment, they can get frustrated. I didn't sense that on his face, but we'll see what happens the rest of the way through. All right, we'll talk some more signing day. We'll get Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffs, coming up next. But first, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Chevron, here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Mark, it's an exciting day. We got Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffs, joining us right now. It's always an exciting day, signing day, getting to see different names and things like that. I'm telling you, and I said this at the beginning of the show, I look at the name, I look at the position, I look at where they're from, maybe the stars next to him. And that's about as much as I know. That's as much as I know, Mark.
You might know even more than I do then. You know, hey, by the way, I was just thinking about this just a moment ago. After you guys called, we connected. I'm sitting here kind of rolling through X or Twitter right now. Somebody needs to explain something to me about the college athletic world right now.
Mm.
I can't tell you how many times, and this does not, what I'm about to say is not demeaning or disrespectful to anybody. But why does every single person that decides to go in the transfer decide to make a big social media blitz about it?
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is I can't tell you how many times that guys have jumped into the portal and I think to myself, I have no idea who that is.
I didn't
even know that guy was on the team. I had no idea. But yet, you know, they're thanking God, and by the way, here's my second thought on this too. How come every guy, if you read their deal when they jump in the portal, they talk as if the place they're leaving is the greatest spot in the history of mankind, which makes me wonder, why are you leaving? It was amazing. It was stunning. I grew so much. The coaches are fantastic. The city is great. Oh, by the way, I'm leaving. Why are you leaving? You should have said it's fantastic. I don't understand anything that goes on with the social media stuff and the transfer.
No, Martin, the key word, you missed this one. The key word is everything's great, everything. We love it, love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. That being said, that's the one that I see all the time. That
exactly
being
right
said.
It was the greatest experience of my entire life. That being said, I'm leaving. But half the guys, I don't know who they are. And, you know, it really has, we've jumped the shark in this thing when walk-ons are starting to announce that they're jumping in the portal.
Yeah, I agree. Listen, I always thought it was chaos before. Now it's like, I don't even know if I want to waste a lot of time because I don't know if you're going to work out. I don't know if you're going to play. I guess I'll pay attention when it works out for you. And maybe that sounds like a bandwagon rider, but that's all the information out there now, Mark. I'm drowning in it.
No, exactly right. And that's why. And God bless guys like Adam Mustard, Tiger, and Brian Howe,
yeah, sure,
who cover this amazingly. And I'm big fans of both of those guys. Read their stuff. But I couldn't do what they do because, you know, and maybe this is the fact that, you know, I'm older than both those guys. I've been around this business a long, long time. You know, and I think I've said on your show before, going back, you know, years and years and years ago, when the great Joe Tiller, who was a wonderful coach at Wyoming, was at Purdue when I was there. And I said, you know, I'm just a young pup reporter at the time. I'm 24 years old or whatever I was. And I said something to him about, well, you really like your class. He says, Mark, every coach likes their class. And guess what? We all talk glowingly about it. And then in August, when all of them moved to town to get ready for camp, they all shrink 2 inches and gain 2/10 of their 40 time. And half of them we never hear from ever again because they never become players. And it's just, we make such a big deal out of this. And there are some guys that we know are going to be, you know, everyone knew Travis Hunter was going to be a great player. Okay? That was a no-brainer. But the vast majority of them we don't know. You know, years ago, Brady, I did a very unscientific little study, my staff and I was at KOA in Denver. And I said, let's go back over the last 20 years of the NFL first-round draft picks, and by a very loose definition, let's kind of grade guys on whether they were got a passing grade or not passing grade in the NFL. And I think our passing grade was they were a starter or a heavy contributor and had a decent career in the NFL. And the other, and it was about 50-50 at that level, right? It's got to be less than that in college athletics. But, boy, we go nuts over this stuff, and I understand it. And I'm a little bit like you, though. I wait, and when spring ball happens, I look at the roster and go, okay, those are new guys. You better figure out who they are, and I'm kind of excited about seeing what they can do.
Yeah, whether that's the transfer portal or recruiting, yeah. I remember even, you know, just looking up north, you know, with Colorado State, Dallin Holker, big name now, going to the NFL. I had no idea. I didn't know much about him. And so I'm asking at spring ball, like, hey, what's the tight end situation look like? And everybody there is quick to tell me, hey, watch out for this dude. He's going to be a star. And then I note that. Okay, great. I'm going to note that. I'm not going to do it based off of pictures and social media. It's exciting. And if fans want to get into it, sure. But I'm not going to get on here and pretend, oh, man, that guy's going to change things.
Well, I just saw, you know, in fact, as I mentioned to Adam, I just noticed on Adam's Twitter feed here, offensive lineman Jeremiah McCrimmon moving on for the Buffaloes. But apparently he came in as a junior college guy. He never played all season long, so I didn't, you know, I knew he was one of the big bodies there. But, you know, that's what happens a lot of times. Now, listen, you put your trust in Coach Prime and his recruiting, you know, department. And they're bringing all these guys in, and they're new names, and that creates excitement because they're unknowns. But we'll learn when, you know, spring ball gets underway, when fall camp gets underway. I'm positive, you know, they're upgrading. I mean, that's what they're doing. They're trying to upgrade everybody. That's awesome. And when I see the names coming in just like you do, awesome. You know, they're filling needs. We're getting offensive linemen. We're getting defensive linemen, which we've desperately needed, getting some athletes elsewhere. So I'm all for it. But you know, the analysis of it is a little bit hard to do at this point in time because we just don't know. So what I basically do in these situations, like you just mentioned, you see the stars, you see this. I look at a guy and say, okay, is he a transfer coming in? Where did he come from? Was it a quality program or at least a Power 5 program? Okay, it was. Did he play? Okay, he did. Okay, started good bit, played quite a bit, had some snaps. Pro Football Focus puts a pretty good grade on the guy. Okay, now I'm interested to see what he's going to do. But I can't go nuts over the unknown until we actually see, you know, the performance on the practice field at least, and then we'll get a better idea about it. So as I look at this thing right now, and I see the same names coming in you do. Okay, coming from quality situations, they played. They're not guys. Every once in a while you get one of those transfers, guy hasn't even seen the field, everyone's going nuts because he came from Alabama. Mm. Well, what does that mean? I don't know because I'm not sure what kind of play he is. But the guys I'm seeing were performers and performed at a high level, and so that's a very positive step in the right direction, obviously.
Mark Johnson joining us, the voice of the Buffs. I think he and I are on the exact same page when it comes to how to kind of view signing day. I wanted to get your thoughts on this guy, Jordan Seaton. That's a big name, Mark, and he was on the big, the four-letter network and making his announcement, his commitment. You can talk about these guys, right, Mark?
Did he fit? I apologize. I haven't seen all the. Did he officially? Did you announce that he signed today?
I don't believe it's. Is it on there, Angel? I just know that there's the commitment.
If the University of Colorado has announced that he has signed his letter of intent, and I'm scrolling right now just to make sure, and if they have announced that, I can talk about not anybody. So. I'm looking back.
I don't think so. It might be one of those weird areas, Mark. We're in a weird territory.
Yeah.
I don't think you can talk about it.
Because I'm looking, and I'm just scrolling here real quick, and I haven't seen his name pop up there. So the young man you're talking about, whom I can't name, was considered one of the top tackles in America. You know, that when it happens, and I'm confident it will be a very exciting thing because he's got all the intangibles. The other thing I look at, and the measurables. The other thing I look at is who's offering these guys. And if Colorado is getting a guy that's being offered by Alabama and Georgia and Texas and USC, then you go, okay, all right. Everyone sees the same things. Every once in a while, in years past, there was a guy that, Colorado's offering in Bob Screendoor U and Eastern New Mexico Tech is, you're like, okay, I'm not even sure who else saw value in this guy. And so that's the thing I like right now with Coach Prime. He's going after the top-level guys that everybody is going after, and that's a good thing.
No doubt. Can you talk about guys that committed and then took their commitment back? Can you talk about that?
Sure. Why not?
What about this, that Matthew Bedford thing?
That's a transfer guy from Indiana.
Yes. Yeah. That was an interesting one. I read his post, kind of like you said some of these posts are, but he talked about how great it was, amazing coaching staff, community, thanks for their support and all that. He wrote this, which I thought was interesting. However, upon reflection, I believe that the University of Oregon aligns perfectly with my long-term goals, and I'm thrilled. He said, basically, the Colorado organization is so amazing that I made a decision too hastily before weighing all of my options. What can you tell me about any of that stuff, Mark?
Well, that kind of stuff is always fascinating to me as well. From the standpoint of, once again, what have you said? You have said that the University of Colorado and Coach Prime and what they're doing is amazing.
Best thing ever.
Unbelievable. But I'm going to go someplace else. and I just wish people would sit down with these guys and, really teach them how to express themselves, for goodness sakes. Right? Great conversations with said university. As I've continued to evaluate and look at things, I think this might be my best path, right? Okay, fine. But let's be real honest about it. In this day and age, what generally happens under those circumstances? What generally happens? Hey, just be honest about it. You know what?
Mm-hmm.
Oregon came in with a better NIL offer.
More money.
That's generally what's going on. I'm not saying specifically to this situation. That's where we're at in college athletics right now. Is generally right now on a day like this, you've got people that are hastily on the phones out there trying to come up with a better package to put, even though NIL is still by rule not supposed to be used in that way. But that's what's happening in college athletics.
Oh, it's no question. When you see something quick like that, too, it's like, hey, I loved it there, but, I was skipping some rocks by the lake the other day, and I decided Oregon's the place for me. That's the one. No, I also got like $1 million, too.
But duck landed on the water by the lake, and I took that as a sign from God that I'm supposed to be in Oregon because no buffalo walked by.
Mark, you know what? I got to apologize to you for something, too.
What's that?
I haven't done my thing this year where I'm going to ask you before each matchup which mascot would win. I didn't do that on Friday. I was at the game. I wanted to come say hi. I didn't get there till late. And I wanted to say...
By the way, I took that as an insult.
I know, and I'm sorry. I was dressed in neutral colors, though. I think you'll appreciate that. I try to do that for other games I go to. But I should have asked you, what's winning? A buffalo / bison or a bear? What's winning?
I think the buffalo is going to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how often... If you go up to, and if we spent 100 years sitting at Yellowstone, how often a grizzly bear takes down an adult buffalo. I don't know how often that happens. I don't think for a take down calf buffaloes, but I don't think that happens. Now that'll bring us to a problem, because the game tomorrow night, their mascot is a bison as well.
Oh.
So we've got a problem there. That you got to call that a draw, because we've got Buffs or Bison on both sides here, by the way.
That's going to be – yeah, that's a great note by you. So yeah. I got to remember to start doing this. It's a very important segment.
Hey, by the way, speaking of that kind of thing, yeah. And I just totally lost it. Who did – and by the way, what a phenomenal season by School of Mines, by the way, this season.
Yeah.
Was it Harden – who did they play in the championship? Was it Harden College?
Harden College, yes.
Did you catch that? That was kind of interesting. Now, remember, I grew up in North Dakota, North Dakota State Bison.
Yes.
Right? I worked for the Colorado Buffaloes, but they went by the Bisons, plural, with an S. Wouldn't that not be like saying mooses? Right? That is a herd of bison. It's not, you know, you say there's a herd of horses. But, you don't say there's a herd of bisons. You say there's a herd of bison.
Do you think somebody made that mistake years ago and it was like, you know, honestly, we already got the marketing stuff out there and it's all done. All the labels have been made. I don't think anybody's going to notice.
That's probably what happened. But growing up in North Dakota with the North Dakota State Bison up there, it bothered me the entire game that I was watching. I wanted to walk over and put a marker in the screen and correct this scroll on the bottom where it said bisons. No, that's not right.
No, I agree. And it's, you know what? I've learned more about you and I. You and I are bothered by pretty much the same stuff. That's true. Okay, Mark, I got to let you go. But before we all do right. that, the two more other important questions, because I'm not going to be here next week. Bison, buffalo, or a husky? What's winning there?
Buffalo.
Okay. A cougar or a buffalo?
Buffalo.
No, Buffalo's got that. Okay, I think that's it until next week, and then when I'm back again, I'll reload the mascots, and we'll figure that out. But Buffalo so far is beating everything.
Yeah, next week we got to talk some basketball, because how about UCLA being 5-5 right
yeah.
now?
Yeah,
how about
yeah.
USC being 6-5? Pac-12's not outside of Colorado and Utah and obviously Arizona and Washington State. Boy, the Pac-12 basketball is not very good right now.
Yeah, well, let me just say this too, since we didn't talk a lot of hoops, but I am all in on the Eddie Lampkin thing. I know he's getting into shape and everything. Awesome. Tad talked to us a lot about that, but man, I like he is a fascinating dude. I like watching him play.
He and I told him the other day. I said, I'm going to mic you up. I want to hear what you're talking about, because he talks nonstop on the court. To other people, to the crowd, to other players, the officials, to himself. He's got a running commentary that needs to be broadcast, I think. And he did tell me it's G-rated, so I think we could do it.
All right, I'm all in. You let me know. You let me know, and I'll be in. Mark, hey, Merry Christmas to you. Happy New Year. I'm out next week. Thank you for all you do for this show. But, you know, obviously, more importantly, what you do for the Colorado Buffaloes and bringing their stories to life, man. Nobody better.
You're very welcome. Merry Christmas as well. See you.
All right, my friend. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, 49 minutes after the hour. What did we learn? Coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Basketball is here, and Bruce is having a ball. Listen to Coach Bruce Dick on Coach Speak. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Miles Blumhart, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
Well, I guess I kind of learned that signing day, be excited with it, especially like if you know some of the kids, if they're local or you followed them somehow out of state, if you're that into it, be excited about it. But I wouldn't get your hopes like super crazy. And I know I'm going to have more recap of this stuff as we get all the names and gather. Today is just every time you refresh, there's a new name. So we'll kind of get the summary of what the Bears did, what the Rams did, what the Buffs did, what the Cowboys did. And we'll go over that a little bit more tomorrow. But that's kind of what I learned. Angel, what did you learn today?
Yeah, kind of the same thing. As I said, you know, I used to enjoy signing day and watching commits come through. Now it's, you know, we can't really get attached to these kids as much because they could be gone in a year. But you get a sense for where these programs are at, where their focuses are. Buffs, obviously, trenches. CSU seems more wide receivers, but also filling in some of those gaps on that defensive side.
Getting some edge rushers, it looks like.
And then the Bears, obviously, Colorado kids.
Local.
Love them.
Local. There's themes to all of it, for sure. And we'll kind of break into some of that tomorrow. Nuggets tonight, looking forward to that. We've got the Nerd Show and Nick Snacks and Fat Guys at the movies tonight for you on KFK. Tomorrow afternoon, we'll have a little bit of a shorter show. We're off at 1:30 for the Blue and Gold pregame show. Mike Rice will have the call there as the UNC Bears get set to take on Air Force. And, hey, maybe that's a dub there. That could be a dub for the Bears tomorrow. Certainly showing that they have perhaps the offense. Can they get the defense rolling? That's the big question. All right, thanks for everything today. We'll be back at it on a Thursday. Good night, Northern Colorado.